I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tuesday morning, March 26, 2024. It is the Beating the Book podcast. It's Gil Alexander. A little something different today. And by different, I mean we're back to baseball, baby. Oh, yes. It's awesome. Because, again, a special Beating the Book podcast investigation reveals that the baseball season is beginning in 48 hours. We've been so wrapped up in the March Madness pod, obviously. Obviously, football before that. We do tennis pods here on this feed. But it's baseball season. So how we do this, we always have a preview pod. And then Mark Borchardt and I, base winner, we'll do a Q2 and a Q3 podcast as well, where we go through all the betting derivative stats. We don't do too much more baseball than that on the podcast side, but of course we cover it daily on the radio side on A Numbers Game with Jason Weingarten, with Paul Sporer, with the aforementioned Mark Borchardt, and two of those three I'm thrilled to have join us on the preview pod today. I mentioned Mark. Mark Borchardt, base winner, at base winner on Twitter, also does the BetUS betting show baseball-wise daily during the baseball season, Monday through Friday. Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really good. I'm looking so forward to this year, Gil, for so many reasons. But to answer your question, yeah, the MLB show on YouTube, it's a live show and it's super fun. I get to answer any questions and all questions, and that's the most enjoyable part. So yeah, that's going to happen again this year, about 140 shows roughly, Gil.
And our buddy Steve Fezzik listens to you all the time. And you did it last year with Jason Weingarten, our dear friend who's been with us since the beginning, as you have. Jason joins us now. From his, Mark is from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. Jason is from under a cloud of smoke at Spreadopedia. Let me start with you, Jason. And this is doing a baseball preview pod 2 days before the season starts. If you're not listening to us on the radio side on A Numbers Game, I know you're coming to this podcast. You're like, how you guys wait this long and all the best of the numbers are gone. I know that part can be annoying. So we're going to try to emphasize just everything that is still available right at this moment for season longs when we get to them momentarily. But Jason, just to give you some street cred here, can you rifle through at least a few of the bets you've already made and where those numbers are now?
Sure. We can start with O'Neal Cruz, was one of my favorites. I got him at 100-1. I see he's 65-1 still at FanDuel, 25-1 at DraftKings. I think that's probably a bit of an overreaction, but 100 down to 65 is decent before the season.
Talking NL MVP there, by the way.
Yeah. NL Cy Young, I got some Chris Sale. Trying to find his number here. I don't even know if he's... Oh, here he is. He's 30-1 at DraftKings. I got him at 50. Again, I'm not thinking that he's, going to win or anything, but he is Chris Sale. I still love him. Think he's got something left in the tank. So some value there. I got Jackson Merrill. Do you believe there's three different rookies this year, all named Jackson?
Yeah.
Jackson Churio, Jackson Merrill, Jackson Holiday. You really have to be specific when referring to which Jackson you're talking about. But I bet Merrill. I got 50-1, 45-1, and 40-1. He's now 9.5-1 at DraftKings. Let's see what he is at FanDuel. I think I saw like 15. 11. Okay, cool. So he's down a bunch. He won the center field job in San Diego. And then my other MVP bet, I bet Wyatt Langford at 500-1 at Circa last week. You're like, who, Wyatt Langford? What, the rookie? He hasn't even played an MLB game yet. Yeah, I know. That's why he was 500-1. But he's down to 80-1 now. So, maybe I got a good grab there. I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to grab good numbers. If he's good enough to start bat third for the defending World Series champs before ever playing a major league game, I was pretty happy with 500-1 there. So I have some stuff, not as much as I normally do, but the numbers I have overall are pretty good, and I'm pretty happy with them.
Are any of those at the current numbers bets you would recommend?
O'Neill Cruz, I still think, if he's fully healthy and maintains his health, 65-1 is a fairly reasonable number for his MVP case, especially if you're bullish on the Pirates. When you kind of look at the other guys that O'Neill Cruz compares to, it's like Ronald Acuna, Fernando Tatis, and Acuna's 5-1, Tatis is 10-1, and I don't think Tatis is going to win an MVP anytime soon. If you're asking me who I think has the most value, I'm just looking around. O'Neill Cruz or possibly his teammate Cabrian Hayes at an even bigger number, like 200-300-1. But give me O'Neill Cruz and the Pirates.
Yeah, O'Neill Cruz, by the way, of the Pirates. Jason is not referring to Ellie De La Cruz of the Reds, so don't make that mistake either. We'll circle back to some awards here coming up, but I want to start, Mark, with season win totals. Because obviously those numbers are, not far off, if at all, from what they have been. I'm curious what your favorite ones are for the 2024 baseball season.
Well, I think that I'll do one for each league, Gil. And in the National League, I like the Braves over. I've got them projected, believe it or don't, at 113 wins.
Whoa.
And it gives you some room. Kind of at the end of it. And then I like the Tampa Bay Rays in the American League. So those are probably my two favorite. Those are my favorite teams right now to root for going into the season based on all the bets that I have. I put out, I put out the Rays over 84.5, minus 120. I don't know where it sits right now. And then I put the Braves over at 101.5. So those are the two teams that I'm kind of keen on this year. And, I look for good things from both teams. They have great pitching, great hitting, and great fielding. So other than that, they're horrible,
Atlanta Braves right now at 101.5. Let's take a shop like DraftKings, 101.5 with the over at plus 100. So the under is juiced at 101.5. And then your Tampa Bay Rays, which, by the way, anecdotally, I'm hearing more and more people loving the Rays when talking about bets. They're at 84.5 still. 84.5 on the Tampa Bay Rays. Let me just also say this, because I reacted to your projection on the Braves. Every time I've ever reacted, like you just said, that your numbers say the Braves 113. I can distinctly remember you coming on here, was it last year? Maybe it was the year before, where you're like, oh, yeah, I've got the Yankees projected at 98 or whatever it was. And it was like way out of whack. And then you were proven right, I think, a couple of years ago on it. I believe that was when it was. So when Mark says outlandish things, oftentimes they come true. The end of July, July 31st, a few years back, you're like, Robbie Ray, Cy Young, 100-1. Bang. Hits. So I shouldn't ever snicker when you say something like that. So apologies if it came across.
It doesn't happen all the time, Gil. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Just to kind of, I guess, just at a high level describe the methodology. There's really, for me, in these projections, there's no regression, progression adjustments. I think that's really hard to predict personally. And then the injury factor too for me is out of it. So it's completely objective. It's a pitching rating based on last 150 plate appearance strikeout percentages, last 300 walk percentage, and then last 150 expected ground ball rate. And that's pretty much the main ratings that I use for the starter and the reliever. And then I contextualize that for parks as well. And then for batters, it's adjusted base runs created last 500 plate appearances. So it's very objective, and I just wanted to bring that out for people who are you know, maybe a little bit better than me, because I will admittedly say I'm not the best guy at like progression, regression, and it's just really time consuming, and there's a lot of subjectivity in it, or health analysis too. So I think my numbers are extremely valuable for those who want to take it a little bit further to say, okay, well, here's a true talent, but I think this team's going to be better because this guy is coming back, or he's not going to be hurt as much, or this guy's going to get hurt for this other team, that sort of thing. Gil, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And for those who want access to your numbers, what do they do this year?
Just go over to basewinner.com and I'll see, you got to sign up as a member. It's $99, so I'm giving it away. So
yeah,
you're able to, and I do give some free stuff out on the site too that's very good, and there's things I do on a daily basis that you don't have to pay anything. But I felt like, you know, for what I do and what I think it helps a lot of people. I think it's worth a 99 bone skill.
All right, I'm gonna give before we get back to Jason, I'm gonna give my favorite season win totals. That I am on this year. I gave these out on a numbers game a little while ago, but again, the season win totals are still right around where they are, if not exactly. And for those who don't know, who know me as like a sports betting radio host or a tennis guy, baseball is where I cut my teeth. 5-10 years ago, if you asked me what sports do I bet on, it was baseball, and everything else was a distant second. Jason, Mark, and I all connected on baseball many years ago, and this podcast was primarily a baseball one. And football back in the day. Baseball was definitely the secondary sport. So last year when I gave out baseball season win totals, I only gave out one on this, and it was the Rangers over. As you may have heard, they won the World Series, soared over their season wins. And I do my season wins same way every year, which is I get to the actual personnel and the talent as a third aspect. The first couple are looking at their Pythagorean theorem and looking at their sequencing. And so this year, doing that, and I'll explain what that is to those who don't know, essentially with the Bill James Pythagorean theorem, it's not what your teachers taught you in geometry class in 10th grade. It's not A squared plus B squared equals C squared, and I won't bore you with his formula. But it's essentially runs produced, runs allowed, and he's got a tried and true formula that translates to a win percentage expectancy. And therefore, after 100, you know, and when you translate that to a 162 game schedule, these are the number of games you ought to have won, and these are the games you ought to have lost, the number, based on your wins, based on your runs scored and your runs prevented. And some teams will, in essence, overperform that. Some teams will underperform that, either mildly or greatly on a yearly basis. So the Rangers, the previous year, prior to last year, they had really underperformed both on Bill James Pythagorean theorem and then on sequencing. Which is Bill James Pythagorean theorem lets you know what your record should have been based on runs produced and runs allowed. He doesn't tell you how those runs were produced and how those runs were allowed, where sequencing gives you an insight into that. And what I mean by sequencing, I'll give the simplest example I'll always give, which is, let's say you have 7 events in a half inning, a home run, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. But if the order of those are home run, walk, 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 strikeout, 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 you end up with one run. If it's walk, 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 strikeout, strikeout, home run, strikeout, you end up with 4 runs. And so the same events can produce an entirely different amount of runs. So some teams get the best of it on offense or the worst of it. And by the way, some teams get the best of it or worst of it on defense. So who then were the biggest overperformers and the biggest underperformers last year? And overperformers, Baltimore, believe it or not, as good as they were, they overperformed by about 6 games. Detroit by 6 games. Miami by 10. Pittsburgh by 6. Underperformers, Minnesota by 7. Kansas City by 6. Texas by 8, even in their World Series winning year. Chicago, the Cubs, that is, by 8. Talking about in terms of the Bill James Pythagorean numbers. And then when it comes to sequencing, Baltimore, Miami, and Pittsburgh also overperforming by sequencing. Minnesota, Kansas City, and the Cubs also underperforming by sequencing as well. The Cubs end up being my second favorite season win total. The over on the Cubs, I got them at 84.5. And when you get beyond what I just said, that instead of being an 83-win ball club, they ought to have been a 91-win ball club last year based on both Pythag and sequencing. They add, the last half of last year, Seiya Suzuki, monster second half, a 938 OPS. So if you can expect a full season of something close to that, maybe that's allowing for more, but it'll certainly project that over a full season to be a good cog in their wheel. Michael Bush, more upside than anyone. They've had at first base in some time. They missed the postseason by one game last year, but they got young talent, Peter Crow Armstrong, Ben Brown. So I like the Cubs over. And the Cubs over right now, I got an 84.5. It is currently, hold please, want to get the exact number. We'll use DraftKings again. That number is, it's your hold music. They don't put them in order. It's still 84.5. My favorite season win total, and I'll throw it to Jason, is the San Diego Padres over. And I know people are like, what are you talking about? They don't have Juan Soto. They don't have Blake Snell. That's true. But last year, they underperformed, much like the Cubs did, but by even more. They were an 82-win team, but they should have been a 93-win team by Pyfag, 91 by sequencing. Yes, you are losing Soto's production. Yes, you are losing Blake Snell's smoke and mirrors production, where he parlayed into a Cy Young. But you still have Fernando Tatis Jr., who may not be the end up being the superstar we all thought he was, but he's still a great player in there in the middle. They have really improved, though, on a thin rotation with Michael King, Randy Vasquez. The bullpen is where they had the biggest issues in 2023. They've made some smart moves there as well. I think the Padres have recognized that just producing or putting an all-star team out there on a daily basis ain't the way to World Series titles necessarily. And so they've addressed some of their concerns. So I love the Padres over. I got them at 81.5, and they are currently, again, forgive the hold music, why aren't these in order, by the way, in sportsbooks? They're actually at 83.5 now. So that's gone way up. I still like it, obviously not as much, and I would still play it at 83.5 because, again, you're not asking them to win 90 games. You're asking them to just go barely over 500. So I still like it at 83.5.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason, I know you and I have sort of ratcheted back season win totals in recent years. Do you have any?
I do not have anything I find particularly exciting on the season win totals, which doesn't mean I don't like yours, especially that Cubs one. I think everybody in that Central Division is pretty interesting this year, except the Cardinals. I don't think Cardinals are going to win. I think every other team you can at least make a case for. And you mentioned Saya Suzuki and his strong second half. That's actually something that I'm very excited about as well. And, you know, I don't think he's a guy that's necessarily going to win MVP, but I also did actually find a future on him to hit the most home runs at 500-1.
Ooh.
So another 500-1 I have there.
There you go.
I don't know. I mean, maybe those numbers, you know, maybe just takes him a year to get acclimated to baseball. I mean, he is one of the better hitters from Japan that we've seen in a while. So, yeah, I don't know. 500-1, that's all I'm saying.
Mark, I see you with I'm trying to read your facial expression as I was going through my two overs. Do you like those? Do you hate those?
I like the Cubs. I guess my facial expressions were like a little bit perplexed because I was really down on the Padres. But it looks like the addition of Cease, and I think maybe King was, they had like Johnny Bravo or what's the, I don't know what that guy, Johnny Brito was, I can't remember the guy they got from the Yankees, but King has kind of stepped in, and then they got Cease, and that makes a huge difference. I mean, you want to talk about strikeout percentage, Dylan Cease, 32.2% strikeout percentage, and then Michael King at 31.2%. Musgrove's not too far behind at 28.5%. I think where they go down for me, Gil, is Yu Darvish. You look at his last 150 plate appearance strikeout percentage, and this is before this year. I don't know what he did in the first game against the Dodgers. I got to get that updated. Note to self. But going into the season, he was 21.8% strikeout rate, which is low. And then they got a guy named Matt Waldron who is 18.4% as their SP5. I think where it breaks down for me is looking at their offensive ratings. And again, this is last 500 plate appearances. Base runs adjusted for parks. You can say, well, they play in San Diego. Well, I took that into account as well. And overall, Gil, number 26th in baseball, and then eighth in baseball for fielding. But put it all together, they're right about where their number is right now, where they've really gone up. They've gone up. The number for me was in the 70s, and now it's at 83.5. So for me, it's a no play for the Padres. But I would tail you on the Cubs. And he won 20 games, so you know. I don't know. Like, I would bet under on that. I think that these guys get pulled out. Could you just bet Strider over? Like that's what
yeah,
I would
you
do.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. Him. Yeah, you just bet Strider over. Because remember, that was the thing. Strider might have gotten 20 last year too. Did he end up with 20? He didn't. Did he?
Yeah.
He did. He ended up with 20 on the button, right?
I almost bet Strider under.
Almost bet him under, but did not pull the trigger on it?
No, not yet, but I thought about it because he hasn't been injured, seriously injured in his career. I just think, like, it happens to every pitcher at this point sooner or later. Like, I've just been so wrong on Strider, I should probably just keep betting against him at this point until I'm right.
Yeah, the human arm was not meant to do these things. And then finally, most home runs is set at 53.5. Most home runs by any player, 53.5 with the under, slightly juiced at minus 130.
Over.
Over. Ooh.
I like the over on that one, too.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
You're thinking Alonzo, Jason. Who are you thinking, Mark?
You know, well, it's a big if, but two guys could do it. It could be Olsen. It could be Judge. Those are my favorite guys. But Olsen's tough, you know. So I like Jason's play with Alonzo. He's right up there. You know, I did this adjusted home runs last 500 plate appearances, and he's really close to Olsen and Judge. If you take out the park factors, Judge is number two, 36.6, and Alonzo's real right close to him at 34.1. So I kind of like Jason's play out there with Alonzo. You know, I think I'm going to make a play on this home run market with Soler, though. He's up there at top. Five last 500 plate appearances, 32.9 home runs. And you say, well, he's going to San Francisco. That's not going to help him out. Well, he's coming from Miami, and the park factors for handedness right there are actually better by just a little bit in San Francisco. So I think Soler might be, if you want to catch some value, go with him. He was like 25-1, maybe.
Yeah, he's also a righty, right? He's a right-handed hitter. So that's a little better than being a left-handed hitter where you don't have to have the splash homers.
Park factors for the were kind of similar, so like he's up there towards the top on adjusted home runs. So why not?
So what was your bet on him over the total, or what did you bet on him?
Soler in. I've got a group of four home. I'll give all my four home run winners.
Please,
out.
So yes.
You got to Dutch this a little bit. You get +136, but I got Judge, Olsen, Soler, and Trout. I'd like Jason's. Trout was up there last year and he got hurt, so maybe the guy will be healthy this year. But if you group them and you bet them accordingly, you get +136 in that group. That's kind of how I like to play these futures, Gil.
I remember that about you. You do little four player clusters.
Yep.
All right. What else are you holding from us, Mark? What else did you bet? What else do you like?
I'll give you one player from each of my group of five for all the awards. So if you guys want them all, you got to come over to basewinner.com.
There you go.
I'll give you a long shot for NL MVP. Marte's in my group of five. Kendall Marte from the D-backs.
Oh man.
I'd like as a chalk guy for AL MVP. I like Soto at 6-1. He's got, you know, he's actually got really good base run created numbers, even with the park factor. With park factors adjusted, he gets a little bit of bump because he played in San Diego. And then so AL Cy Young, I'm gonna give you one of my favorite guys at 100-1, and it's not Zach Efron, and Zach Eflin. And Zach Eflin, we used to just joke about him, Gil, right?
Uh-huh.
So
he was
this guy's a legitimate, he's a 30% strikeout guy, last 150 plate appearances. He's really turned the corner. And I like him. And then I'll give you my top guy. This is for Jason, NL Cy Young, Strider plus 450. He's in my group of five.
Yeah, it would.
All right, hey, base winner, let me ask you, same team, different pitcher. What do you think of Chris Sale for Cy Young?
I like that, Jason. I think that like Sale's, like his strikeout numbers were up last year, his last 150. I'm trying to pull it up here. You know, it's funny because then when I was filtering it down, I filtered it down to Boston, and he's not on Boston. He's on Atlanta. So it's really funny how the mind works. But if you look at his last 150 strikeout percentage, it's right at 30%, 29.9%, good control at 6.5%. So definitely potential for him. And God, wouldn't it be great if Sale does get close to that, Jason?
I got to tell you, the guys that smoke the most in this casino.
I got him 50-1. I'm a big Sale fan.
50-1. Yeah. Like this just in, Chris Sale plays for the Atlanta Braves. I'm doing this from the D in downtown Las Vegas. We don't have a studio. We're at a table here in the middle of the casino. And the person who smells like a chimney always wants to get closest to us. It is just, I cannot stop coughing. All right. Anything else, Mark, that you've bet? I love these.
No, I gave out quite a bit.
Yeah, you gave out a lot.
I've got a lot more though, but like,
go to baseball.
You know, show me some love, guys.
Yeah,
show him
some love at basewinner.com, at basewinner on Twitter. He'll do the BetUS show Monday through Friday. Yes, every weekday morning.
Yeah, I think they're giving me Wednesday off. So
that's not
for the first 2 weeks. For the first 2 weeks, I'm going straight through. So you know, in all seriousness, it's a great opportunity for anybody who wants to ask a question going over. That's my favorite part of the show. It's just the interaction with people.
Why do you take Wednesdays off? Isn't that the most baseball games all day long? Why do you take that day off?
I don't. You know what? Because I asked for it. I don't even know. I think it was a Lisa request last year.
Oh, the wife.
No. My favorite days to go are Tuesday and Friday. So like Friday is like my favorite baseball day. It's like a Sunday football day for me. I don't know what it is. And now Apple TV's got the Friday night baseball. And I think that the production is really, really good. The quality of the video on Apple TV is so good. And so it's exciting. Friday is my favorite day. Tuesday followed by on Tuesday. Tuesday's usually a full card too, Gil. And that's why I go on your show. See, that's strategic.
There you go. All right. Never mind. You call my show on Wednesdays, whatever. Jason, I feel like we didn't get everything from you, did we? Or did you give us all everything you bet?
More or less. I got a couple things left. I actually also bet the Soler over home run prop. I think I got 27.5. So we're both on there. I bet that a couple weeks ago. I'm a big fan of Soler. I think he gets a lot of at bats batting cleanup in that lineup. So nice spot for him. Another long shot I bet today. This one might excite you a little bit, Bill. It's also a Giants bet. It's for Cy Young. I think there's a potential Cy Young contender. Every year, there's kind of a couple random new guys who kind of throw their way into the mix one way or the other. And at big odds, at 200-1 this year, I like Jordan Hicks.
Yes.
Yeah, the converted reliever from St. Louis. It's very possible St. Louis just had another guy that they were using incorrectly. You know, Randy Rosarena, Dolis Garcia all come to mind as guys who just kind of were wasted in the Cardinals system. And maybe Hicks just needed to get a change of scenery and to move from a reliever to a starter. He's having a pretty dominant spring. I'm happy to take a shot there at 200-1. I actually have somebody going to Westgate right now to bet that for me. So hopefully that gets done before this goes on the air.
Jason used to send me to the Westgate for his 200-1 shots before I was persona non grata over there. Jordan Hicks yesterday, 5 innings pitched, 10 Ks, 1 walk, no hits. 5 innings of hitless ball with 10 Ks against 1 walk, albeit against the Athletics. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But Jordan Hicks, 7 consecutive strikeouts in that ball game. And I'll just say it again about the Giants. Logan Webb. Blake Snell. Where did I get Brandon from? Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks. In Farhan we trust. Farhan Zaidi, the GM of the Giants.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If someone said, I want to make one bet for the season-long 2024 baseball season. You guys have the audacity of doing this podcast only 2 days before the season starts. Yes, I know there were 2 games in Korea. Mark alluded to them earlier. But of the real regular season, 2 days away, I want to make one bet. It could be a futures bet. It could be a season win totals bet. It could be a to make or miss the playoffs. It could be an award. It could be anything we've just discussed. Mark, what bet would you tell them to make right now? One.
I would say take about half of your Vanguard account out. And not that I did this, but and then just lay the wood with the Braves. I don't see the Braves getting beat. The team, the best offense in the history of the game, with a Cy Young contender, and then, you know, Jason, like Sale, Freed, and their bullpen's good. Top three, depending on what metric you're using. I would definitely lay 240 with half your Vanguard account.
Half of your Vanguard. This is, by the way, this is not financial advice. This is just the advice of Mark Borchardt, base runner. I thought you were going to say lay the wood on the Brewers on your long shot Brewers plays, but no, you went with Braves. You went chalkier. Okay. Jason, same question. What would you say to someone?
I'd tell him to split it up between a couple different O'Neill Cruz props, because if he stays healthy, I think his futures and his home run totals and everything are very mispriced. You know, a lot of his projections are based on him playing 125 or 130 games as opposed to 140 or 150. And I just really like him as a player, similar to how I bet the Ohtani MVP several years ago. I bet O'Neill Cruz to win the MVP last year, and he got hurt. He came back this spring. He looks, you know, the same, if not better. He's always going to be a high strikeout guy, but it's just sort of a matter of, I was going to say fact, but it's a matter of height in this case. He's 6'7". He's just a unique skill set for that size. Most guys that size don't run that fast. They don't swing a bat the way he does. He has like five of the 10 or five of the seven hardest hit balls in spring training. He can go down and hit balls out of the strike zone and turn around on them that other players just don't have the wingspan to get to. We don't hear the word wingspan used very often in baseball. You hear it in football, you hear it in basketball, but O'Neal Cruz has this massive wingspan. It allows him to expand the strike zone. It allows him to get on pitches that, you hear sort of, it's not an exaggeration, but like, oh, he got under this fly ball and it just kept going and it was a home run. There's a couple of guys who could do that, but he's one of them, and it just has to do with his size and his wingspan. And I personally always look for the most unique, the most athletic players, and Ohtani fit that profile when he won his first MVP. Cruz fits that profile now, and it's just sort of a thing where until he remains healthy and shows the world what he can do, because he really hasn't done it on a stage yet, he's going to be mispriced. And when he does get restored, if he does become a player, I think he could. We're going to see him more like a 10-1 MVP as opposed to a 65-1. So I think there's some value there. I think there's value on his home run over. It's still 27. He can easily get closer to 40 at full health. And then the Pirates to win the division at 15-1, 16-1.
Wow.
They're being aggressive this year. I see that Jared Jones made the opening day roster, starting pitching. Sure. How do you say it? Skenes or Skenes, right?
I think Skenes.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. That's the thing. I don't get paid to say these guys' names. I get paid to bet on them. So I never know how to pronounce their names when I don't, but Skenes, he's going to be up likely in May. It looks like the Pirates are starting him in AAA and they plan to be aggressive with him. So, the Pirates are going for it this year, it seems. I'm cool with that. I think I encourage teams to go for it, because the whole building for next year thing is always sort of stupid, because half the time you never even get to next year.
Yeah, and it's like, it worked for the Astros, and everybody thought they could do what the Astros did. But, the Orioles, they're good now. But, remember, the Orioles were mired in this for 6-7 years. So it's like, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. Keep in mind with season win totals, you also have to handicap folks which teams are more likely to buy than they are to sell at the trade deadline at the end of July. That's obviously a big calculus. I was going to finish with these two questions, but you guys might have answered it already, which is betting yes, but also betting aside, give me the club in the American League and the National League that is off the radar for most people that you think could sneak into the postseason. And then the second part of that question is, it actually make some noise in the postseason? I guess you answered it, Jason, with the Pirates to get into the postseason. Mark, I won't allow the Brewers as the answer to the question. Give me another team that you think.
I would say the Giants. I think that's good how you're playing that. And then, the other team that could have really good upside is the Tigers, because of their rotation. The rotation is – that's Skubal for me. And I hate to give another playoff, but I will. I like Skubal. I think he's worth putting in that group of five for your AL Cy Young. But they've got some upside. They got some high ceiling with their guys.
Who is the team? All right, then who is the team that could sneak into the postseason that actually then is built for postseason success? I would say the Giants. I don't know who you would say to that, Mark. Oh, we lost your mic, Mark. All of a sudden, we just lost your mic. Are you back? Uh-oh. We've lost Mark Borchardt. Jason, I'll go to you while he figures it back out. Jason?
Can I answer a slightly different question?
Please.
This isn't a team that's going to be a surprise to make the playoffs, but looking at Baltimore, because you mentioned Baltimore went through like 6-7 years of a very painful rebuild where everybody laughed at them and was like, oh, look, they don't know what they're doing. They're not trying to win. But they really have been building something. And if you follow their teams in the minor leagues, the last couple of years, and you see the guys coming through. It's been very impressive. I just wanted to point out the spring, and this is one of the reasons that I'm going to be very sad that spring training is ending today, or it's, you know, for all practical purposes, it ended a couple of days ago. But the Orioles ended spring with a 23-6 record, 793 win percent, highest win total in their history, highest win total since 2017, and highest win percent since 2016, spring training, obviously. And you don't get a ring for winning spring training, but 23-6 is a great way for that locker room to start the year. This is a dominant team that is being built, and I think we're not really realizing how good it is, because a lot of these names, like, obviously, you know, we know Gunnar Henderson, we know Adley Rutschman, but they have a whole roster of dudes in AAA that just come up and mash. It's going to be fun to watch.
It's a great point. No bets for you, though, on them to win the division or the pennant or the World Series? Nothing from you?
You can bet the over. My advice, if you're going to bet a team like the Orioles or the Dodgers, bet an exact World Series matchup. Don't bet the Dodgers to beat the Orioles. Just bet to be in the World Series, because there's two different markets. There's the exact finish, yeah. And then there's the who's going to beat who. I just want both teams to get Braves fan. I think Braves are going to make it. I think Dodgers are going to make it. Whoever, you can narrow it down to Dodgers, Rays, Dodgers, Orioles, two options that you're really confident in. And you'll probably get a slightly better payout that way. And if assuming all those teams get into the playoffs, at least deal with your options at that point. But if I was looking at the Orioles, I'd bet Orioles, Braves, Orioles, Dodgers. Really hard to see anybody after that, but, you know, Orioles, Giants, if you wanted that or whatever. That's how I'd play it.
I agree with that. There's no point in trying to be
Orioles. Pirates would probably pay pretty good.
Oh my God, would it? I agree with you. There's no point in trying to be a hero and getting all that way, having picked the two World Series teams, and then losing it because you picked one team to beat the other and it didn't happen that way. By the way, that Orioles point you made about the spring training needs to be emphasized. I got a tweet about this yesterday on a numbers game. Somebody was like, "Hey, same thing. I know it's spring training, but here's the record. Like, is that a thing?" And I said to him, I go, usually I wouldn't give a damn about the team's spring training record. Like, our whole lives are filled with teams that had good springs and then they didn't do anything in the regular season. But this is so off the charts that you do have to sit up and take notice. And I mentioned exactly what you just said. I brought you up, Jason. I said, and Jason sends me the text of, like, what the Orioles lineup does to bullpens. As soon as the bullpen gets it in spring training, they just destroy them. So, yeah, they might be, you know, I said earlier, they overperformed their Pythag and their sequencing. That doesn't mean they're not good. They just might have overperformed it, and they'll rise to the occasion this year again, if not better. Mark, where did we interrupt when your mic went out?
I was talking about Tarek Skubal, I think, and how much I like him. He's actually my base winner number one. He's got the best base winner rating based on those metrics, last 50, 150 strikeout percentage, last 300 walk percentage, and then last 150 expected ground ball rate. And he's got an expected ERA of 1.78, best in baseball. So,
right.
You know, I think he's a 9-1 in the market. That's a good price for this guy.
Skubal, Cy Young, 9-1. I like it. All right. Oh, last question, Mark. I did ask you this. I left it hanging. Team that's built for postseason success that most people don't think will get in the playoffs could be who?
They're built for postseason success, but they won't get in the playoffs. I don't know if that's a tough question.
Could get into the playoffs and are built for postseason success.
I think the Rays are. That's the team that everybody's sleeping on. I mean, they've got the best bullpen, the starting pitching, the hitting serviceable. You like that? That to me is if there's a surprise, that's a surprise.
All right, boys. I think we've done enough here. And again, if you want more of Mark's stuff, go to basewinner.com. The great Mark Borchard, cousin of Joe Borchard, at Base Winner. What's Joe Borchard doing these days, Mark? Former ball player.
He actually lives in Phoenix here. He's like a high up at one of the like a produce company.
Oh, nice.
And so yeah. He's a Stanford guy, so like you would expect that.
He has a brain. That's right. Mark Borchardt, again, from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. BetUS, the name of his show that he's doing, which he used to do with Jason Weingarten. Jason, there is no finer mind than you and Mark, and we'll throw Paul Sporer into that group as well. Joe Pita, when he was doing baseball, too, but he has since retired. Although Joe Pita, by the way, he told me, he said he was back in, baby. He made one bet in Korea. He went 1-0 on the Padres. And then he said he thinks, what did he tell me? Hold on, let me give a Joe Pita bet. Is Joe Pita rising from the dead to make a baseball play? I think he was bored. What did he say? I think you can accuse him of being a homer on this once I get through. Here it is. He has bet... He got the Padres in that game. But what does he have a season long? I think he says he likes the Phillies. I don't want to misquote him, though. And now I can't find it. But I think he's high on the Phillies. Oh, yes, he is. Hold on. What is it? Phillies over 89.5. Didn't say they'd beat the Braves. Phillies over 89.5.
I think that they're a good play, Gil. I have them over their total, like, significantly. And that's why I think that that exact is a – I mean, it's like plus 140. I've got it, like, happening – I don't know, 80-90%, something like that. So
yeah. Okay.
That's a favorite of mine. So yeah.
I like it. And Jason, at Spreadopedia, still coming on a numbers game. We love having you twice a week on a numbers game. The only guy that comes on the show twice a week. It's my only guest that I allow to come on twice a week. Not even you, Mark. Even if you beg me. No, I would if you let me. If you wanted to, I would. But Jason, twice a week on a numbers game. Where else can people find you anywhere else, Jason, or should they just go to Spreadopedia?
That's about it. I'll be on VSiN. I'm writing a little bit for VSiN. Just plugging out an article each week, talk about futures, see where the market's at, and we'll hopefully keep track of everything this year and have a nice winning year. And I'll be on your show. That's probably where you're gonna find me.
I love it. Let's do it. Jason Weingarten and Mark Borchardt, the best in the business. Thank you guys. Good luck to all of you with all of your baseball bets. Both opening day and season longs. Can't wait for the season to start.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.